Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
I'm John Batchelor. Bloomberg Headline. The Houthis are schooling us in asymmetric warfare, subhead by Mark Champion, a Bloomberg opinion columnist. The suicide vest and improved explosive device are being replaced by the suicide drone and precision-guided missile. I welcome Benham Bentaleblou of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing most recently about those missiles the Houthis have. We're told that derived from the missile program, very well developed in Iran, and Benham is published in the Wall Street Journal. I highly recommend a column most recently, Ballistic Missiles Allow Iran to Act More Boldly. Benham, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I note in my investigation of the Houthis these last weeks that the United States and the United Kingdom have responded in kind to intimidate or at least cut back on the attacks on Red Sea shipping. However, I'm told that the targeting is on missile platforms, not, for example, a decapitation strike such as we saw in West Baghdad against the leader of Kataib Hezbollah, after Kataib Hezbollah was associated with using what we believe is drones or mortars or missiles from Iran against Jordan, Syria, and Iraq, outposts of the America and its allies. There was a decap in West Baghdad, but no decap in the Houthis. Okay, but what missile platforms? Why is it that Bloomberg is calling them accurate? What have they done? Good evening to you, Benham.
It's a very good pleasure to be with you. It's great to be back on CBS Eye on the World, John Batchelor Show. Always a pleasure.
What's on those platforms?
Those platforms essentially have at least three different but specific types of weapons. One are anti-ship ballistic missiles, which are variants of single-stage solid propellant short-range ballistic missiles that used to be configured to be fired from surface to surface, now configured to fire surface to sea. Many of them have homing radars and, more importantly, electro-optical devices in the warheads that allow them to, you know, strike at a moving target if they can really coordinate that in terms of the guidance system. The Houthis, I should say, are the only proxy of Iran to have paraded, to have tested, and to have fired anti-ship ballistic missiles. Next are anti-ship cruise missiles, which others have, particularly Lebanese Hezbollah, and these fly perpendicular rather than in a parabolic trajectory. They have essentially copies of Chinese one, both that, you know, the army in Yemen had prior to this war, the 2015 Saudi-Yemen war, as well as, of course, more updated versions that Iran has given them. And these can be used to strike ships, just like other anti-ship cruise missiles. Then, of course, they have one-way attack drones. In fact, you saw what eventually became the Delta Wing attack drone, the Shahed 131 and 136, first revealed in 2019, Houthi attacks against Saudi and other positions, if I'm not mistaken, prior to some of these weapons being revealed in the Iranian arsenal, indicating a reverse instance of proxy patron proliferation, meaning the patron develops something for the proxy privately, the proxy publicly uses it, and then later, once it's a battle-proven capability, it goes into the arsenal of the patron. And in this instance, Yemen has been really a testing ground for many different Iranian weapon systems. But long story short, rail launchers, truck launchers are firing these one-way attack drones, anti-ship cruise missiles and anti-ship ballistic missiles at these moving targets in the Red Sea.
The technology. I remember it was many years ago now, an American drone failed in some fashion and landed in Iranian territory. And Iran was keen on telling everybody that they'd captured it. After that, we saw a drone looking much like its younger brother show up in an Iranian propaganda film. So that tells me that the Iranian engineers are good at reverse engineering. The missiles that you just illustrated, the anti-ship or the attack drones or the mobiles, are they also reverse engineered from other arsenals, and what other arsenals?
In this sense, not necessarily. The anti-ship cruise missiles that Iran has and has spread across the region, whether it to be Hezbollah in Lebanon or the Houthis in Yemen, are largely believed to be unlicensed copies of anti-ship cruise missiles that initially they may have bought or later on may have reverse engineered or may have found blueprints for in the 1990s and 2000s. Lest we forget, almost every single Iranian anti-ship cruise missile is based on a Chinese predecessor. The anti-ship ballistic missiles, which again are much more rare and fly high and fast and therefore pose a quite different kind of challenge to ships, but also pose a significant targeting challenge for those firing these weapons, given the speed and the fact that you have to hit a moving target. Those are variants of existing surface-to-surface missiles that Iran in its own arsenal has began to modify and brought to the IRGC Navy, brought closer towards its coastline. And those are variants of, again, single-stage, solid-propellant, short-range ballistic missiles. These missiles, by the way, this shorter-range class of solid-propellant systems is among the most accurate in Iran's entire arsenal. They've moved them up from rockets to missiles in the 90s and early to mid-2000s, and variants of this missile have been used in every single Iranian military operation from 2017 to present. So they have proven their accuracy, at least on the surface-to-surface side.
So
and then the one-way attack drones, it really is commercial technology, not even military-grade technology, commercial technology, illicitly procured from abroad, which has helped make Iran such a superpower, a cost-efficient superpower when it comes to these one-way attack drones.
So the Houthis are enjoying the bounty of Iranian missile and drone building. So I want to move to another battlefront. It's Hezbollah. For years, Benham, we have discussed the 10,000, 50,000, 100,000 missiles in Lebanon. There was the dining room, the living room, the rocket room of so many homes south of the Litani River. However, over the last year, maybe 2 years, I've followed the reporting that in some fashion, the Hezbollah have augmented their missiles with a package that makes them much more deadly because they can hit what they're aiming at throughout the whole of Israel. What is that package? And is that an Iranian original, or did they engineer or derive that from someone else?
Well, often what you see in the hands of the patron will not always be limited to the hands of the patron. It'll flow to the proxy. So just like I was saying, Iran converted some solid propellant rockets in the 90s and 2000s into surface-to-surface missiles, the difference being that rockets are unguided and missiles are guided. The Iranians are now doing that for Lebanese Hezbollah, turning Zelzal-2 rockets into, you know, cheaper, cruder Fateh 110 single-stage solid-propellant short-range ballistic missiles, and in effect reducing the circular error probable, which is basically the accuracy of these missiles, significantly. And they're doing it in a way that doesn't require them to build factories, even though that has been targeted in the past in Syria. They're doing it in a way that doesn't require them to be on tons of bases. And the Israelis have been targeting IRGC officials and bases and elsewhere across Syria for about a decade now. But they're doing it in things that you can essentially retrofit, build, and put into a kit the size of a large briefcase, and traffic these briefcases across a corridor in the region that's called the land bridge from Iran to Iraq to Syria to Lebanon. And in effect, Iran since 2014 has been trying to localize and outsource the production of many of these capabilities, such that in 2014, the deputy commander of the IRGC Aerospace Force talked about, in relation to these proxies, teaching them to fish and not giving them a fish. And that's what you see with the Hamas arsenal, certainly with the Houthis, who are probably the most capable and have been able to graft on the arsenal they already had, the arsenal they absorbed, the fact that Yemen was already awash in North Korean and Soviet and Russian and Chinese weapons. And then when you add in this Iranian equation, gives you this very lethal long-range strike capability that continues to harass civilians and commercial traffic to this day.
Before the Hamas war, before the fall of 23, now and again, every 6 months, every 5 months, going back years, there would be an IAF strike on something near Damascus or outside of Damascus, an enormous explosion that you could see at night. I was told at the time that They're destroying the arsenal being transferred into Baqa. What were they destroying? What was making those huge explosions at night? Were those missiles?
It was precisely the components that go into these weapons, whether it was casting facilities for the solid propellant that basically has to be baked like a cake and put into these systems, or some of the other explosives that was going into the warhead section of some of these projectiles. But in essence, that mission by the Israelis continues to defang and to deter and degrade and to make the Iranian operation in Syria and in Lebanon much harder, basically turning up the heat and therefore rationing up the hassle factor and therefore rationing up the cost to Iran continuing to provide this material support. But Iran, what it has done, per the previous answer, was to change its footprint over time, to move from depots to bases to suitcases, which makes it a much harder intelligence operation to begin to target and to strike. So this stuff flows, admittedly, probably a little bit less so, still into the hands of Lebanese Hezbollah via that border between Lebanon and Syria. But in essence, the Israelis were hitting the makings of this precision-guided missile revolution by the Iranians as a gift to the Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Now for the long range. You name in your column in the Wall Street Journal Kabar Shikan, which you translate as Breaker of Kabar, 900-mile range. What is that, and do they have longer range?
Oh, they have significantly longer range. The Khaybar Shikan was unveiled about 2 years ago. It is part of this upgraded family of single-stage solid propellant ballistic missiles, but they moved it from short range to medium range, basically over 1,000 kilometers, but under 2,000 is medium range. And in this instance, a little over 2,000 kilometers could be medium range. In this instance, the Iranians were trying to send a signal to the Israelis. They call this weapon the Khaybar Shikan, which alludes to Khaybar, this castle in the pre-Islamic and 7th century Arabia that was overrun by the Prophet Muhammad's armies. And they named a missile after this with the intent of saying that where they intend to use it in the future or the country they intend to threaten is the only Jewish state in the region. And to add insult to injury, they fired it essentially at max range. That's about 1,450 kilometers. That's the minimum distance between the furthest point of Iran and the furthest point of Israel, even though Iran already has a whole series of longer range, medium range ballistic missiles. 2,000 kilometers that can target essentially all of Israel and essentially parts of southern and central Europe. Iran, as you know, is also using its space program. It has launched satellite launch vehicles earlier this year, for instance, and intends to launch more in the future, which functions as the cover for an IRBM, an intermediate range missile capability, and an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile capability that could one day threaten all of Europe as well as the American homeland.
This is what they launched recently, within the last week or so, a ballistic missile that is converted into a booster for a satellite. Is that what it is?
Most recently, the Iranians had just a satellite launch, but by way of a Russian Soyuz rocket.
I see.
But earlier in January, yes, there was liquid and solid propellant satellite launch vehicles known as SLVs that tried to put and successfully, we believe, put satellites into low Earth orbit. But the staging, the engine design essentially is the pathway to an ICBM. The only thing we don't know that Iran has mastered for these heavier, longer range systems is the reentry vehicle to be able to essentially sufficiently shield a payload back into the Earth's atmosphere. That's really the big difference between ICBM and SLV. But if you remember last year, the head of the CIA, Mr. Burns, mentioned something about Iranian and Russian space collaboration growing significantly. One of my fears is that as Iran draws closer and closer and closer to Russia, this may be a technology. Again, there's no clear evidence for it yet, but it is a fear that this may be a technology that the Russians may be more willing to loosen up and help the Iranians with, particularly as the Iranians are slated to give them, or if you believe Reuters, has already given them short-range ballistic missiles.
I'm speaking with Benjamin Taleblou, a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.